Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Vox Talk for the week of Tuesday the 21st of April. My name is Ross and I'm compiling this week's edition. This week's news items were collected from the local Ox papers, with news being selected and read by Ralph Wares and Pat Kennedy, a new reader of ours. In addition, we have a news item regarding the Good Vibes Music Academy, read by Jake Gutteridge. Sunrise for the upcoming week will be around 6 a.m, with sunset being around 8 p.m. The copy distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Here, there will be some instructions on how to listen to Ox Talk using your local device, and at the end of this edition, you'll hear how to access Ox Talk online. Enjoy.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Ox Talk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Ox Talk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
The following notice may be of interest to the musical younger members of your family. A leading provider of modern music education, Good Vibes Music Academy is set to open a brand new studio on the grounds of St. Francis School, Cowley, Oxford, bringing its unique, student-focused approach to learning music to families across the area. Known for its high-energy lessons and focus on learning music you love, Good Vibes has built a strong reputation across Berkshire and Oxfordshire for helping young musicians grow in confidence, creativity and performance skills. The new Oxford studio marks an exciting next step in the Academy's mission to be at the forefront of modern music education. To celebrate the launch, Good Vibes is offering a free month of music tuition to new students signing up at the Oxford studio. Good Vibes Music Academy offers lessons in guitar, drums, vocals, piano, bass, music production and more, all taught by a team of professional musicians. Lessons are built around real songs and real progress, helping students stay engaged and motivated from their very first session. Founder and director Stephen Christmas explains, "Parents want more than just weekly lessons. They want their children to feel inspired, supported and confident. That's what Good Vibes is all about. We focus on making lessons fun, relevant, and built around music students actually want to play. The Academy's approach goes beyond traditional music tuition. Students follow a structured pathway that includes the Good Vibes star levels, leading into Trinity Rock and Pop exams, while also having opportunities to join bands, perform live, and explore songwriting and music production. This combination of structure and creativity is designed to keep students engaged long-term and help them develop skills that extend far beyond music. Good Vibes already works with a number of schools across Oxfordshire, delivering engaging in-school lessons and workshops. With flexible membership options, consistent weekly lesson slots, and benefits such as the Never Miss a Lesson guarantee, the Academy aims to make high-quality music education accessible and reliable for busy families. To mark the opening of the Oxford studio, Good Vibes is offering a whopping 3 months of music lessons for new students. The offer is designed to give families the opportunity to experience the Good Vibes approach fully from first lesson through to real progress. The new Cowley Studio is opening April 13th, with limited spaces available for the launch period. If you're interested in taking advantage of the free month, book early. To find out more or to book a free trial month, visit www.goodvibesmusicacademy.co.uk/Oxford or contact them at hello@gvma.co.uk or call 01865 921 733.
An updated proposal to open the Cowley branch line after 60 years and improve Oxford Parkway station are part of a major consultation on the latest rail designs to link Oxford to Cambridge. East West Rail Company, EWRCO, has announced a major consultation on the latest designs for the route linking Oxford, Milton Keynes, Bedford and Cambridge. The 8-week consultation will run until June the 9th, offering communities along the route an opportunity to have their say. Proposed changes have been made to improve Oxford Parkway station to accommodate the expected increase in passenger demand for East-West Rail. This includes from proposed nearby developments such as the new Oxford United Stadium near Kidlington. As part of the plans, there is a new active travel hub with cycle parking, an improved pedestrian access route between the station building and the existing park and ride terminal, and safer crossing facilities for walkers and cyclists at the junction with Oxford Road.
Some iconic skyscrapers and ships have been built faster than the Botley Road closure, which last week marked 3 years since initial construction began. The road was closed at the rail bridge on April 11, 2023, when Rishi Sunak was Prime Minister, Joe Biden was US President, and the current war in Gaza had not yet begun. On the other hand, similar to today, Arsenal were top of the Premier League, although in 2023, that lead was overturned. Initially, the closure at Botley Road was only expected to last for months, but several delays, including the discovery of a Victorian arch and complicated utility pipes, hindered the project. This 3-year milestone means that the project has taken longer, and in some cases far longer, than some of the world's most iconic landmarks and vessels, even if many cost more than the £223.7 million spent on the Oxford scheme. Here are some examples, all icons, but not all taking 3 years. Mary Rose, 1511, around 18 months. King Henry's favourite vessel was constructed between January 2019, 1510, and July 1511, and served as the Tudor monarch's flagship for 33 years. In the 1970s, the 800-ton behemoth, which had a crew of around 500, was the subject of a major salvage mission near the Isle of Wight. In addition, it's worth noting that the Botley Road closure has also lasted longer than three of Henry VIII's six marriages. In addition, it's worth noting that the Botley Road closure has lasted longer than three of Henry VIII's six marriages. The Eiffel Tower, 1889, 2 years, 2 months and 5 days. Completed in 1889, the 330-metre tower was constructed as the centrepiece of the 1889 World's Fair and to crown the centennial anniversary of the French Revolution. It is now the most visited monument with an entrance fee in the world. The Titanic, 1911, 3 years and 2 days. The largest ship in the world at 269.1 metres long and 46,328 gross registered tonnage, sank on its maiden voyage after being completed in 1911. The Empire State Building, 1931, a year and 45 days. The 1,454-foot building was constructed between 1930 and 1931 and was one of the world's tallest buildings at the time. Despite the Wall Street crash in October 1929, the investors decided to plough ahead with the project because of how much progress had already been made. It officially opened on May 1, 1931. The Space Needle, 1961, 400 days. Another landmark raised for a World's Fair, this 138-foot tower is built to withstand winds of up to 100 miles an hour and earthquakes of up to 9 magnitude. Construction began in April 1961 and the basic tower was finished by December 1961 after about 8 months. The Beijing-Shanghai High-Speed Railway, 2011, 3 years and 2 months. The high-speed railway connects the Bohai Economic Rim and the Yangtze River Delta, two major economic sites in China. Construction began in April 2008, with the line open to the public for commercial service in June 2011.
Dozens of community projects have received tens of thousands of pounds in funding. Green Square Accord, GSA, a social landlord serving Oxfordshire, supported 29 community projects last year through its Community Impact Fund, awarding more than £50,000 in grants. The fund supports customer groups, charities and voluntary and community organisations working in GSA communities. John Every, Community Investment and Social Value Lead at GSA, said, "It is fantastic to see our Community Impact Fund continue to grow, supporting a diverse range of community organisations and awarding more grants each year. Thanks to increased donations from some of our suppliers, as part of their social value commitments, we were able to increase the maximum grant available from £1,000 to £2,000 per project."
A pest queen has warned of a crazy bedbug spike in Oxford's HMOs as the main reason for the creature's nears. Sarah Spratt, also known as the bedbug queen, said she's noticed a marked increase in bedbug infestations in the City of Dreaming Spires, in particular in houses of multiple occupation. Bedbugs are small wingless insects that are around the size of an apple seed and feed exclusively on the blood of humans and warm-blooded animals. They hide in furniture, in particular mattress seams, from which they get their name. Miss Spratt has been working in the business for 7 years and operates across London, the Home Counties and Oxfordshire. However, in recent months, Oxford has where most of her work has been. The 58-year-old said, "Oxford in particular has become a real hotspot. I've had more jobs here than anywhere else, including London. I mean, it's crazy." She estimates that 40% of her work over the past 6 months has been in or near to the city, with student HMOs particularly susceptible. They may spread quicker through a house in multiple occupation, but bedbugs don't discriminate, Miss Spratt added. She added, "I've been to family homes and homes in multiple occupation, but HMOs are the ones that everybody panics about because the communal living does make it more likely to have some spread through the entire building." Recently, Oxford was named as a hotspot by landlord insurance provider Just Landlords, who compiled freedom of information requests from councils across the country. Oxford was named the area with the second highest annual application rate, 2,458, ahead of Bristol, 1,491, but well behind Edinburgh, 5,158. With summer often the worst time of the year for bedbugs, approaching Miss Spratt has provided some tips on what they to do and what to avoid if you discover them in your home. The bedbug queen has three golden rules, she said, adding, number one, don't spray any over-the-counter sprays or fogger bombs or repelling products like essential oil. She explained that these really remove the infestation and can even exacerbate the issue. She continued, Number two is don't move anything out of the infested rooms. Don't, for example, throw your bedding away unless it is thoroughly wrapped and sealed so you can't spread them anywhere. The third one is to not abandon infested rooms. If you move to your lounge or you move to the spare room, they will follow you within a month. The most effective weapon households had, she added, is a vacuum cleaner, which will immediately reduce populations if used effectively.
An Oxford University College's bid to close a popular Oxfam specialist bookshop has been refused by council planners. Regent's Park College submitted a change of use application to convert the ground floor and basement of 56 St Giles, where the bookshop operates, from retail use to academic use. Under the plans, the premises would have been used as a middle common room, a community space for graduate students to socialise and study. The college, which owns the building, will now have to appeal against the refusal decision or come up with a different plan. The application for a change of use from retail to academic purposes, submitted earlier this year, was refused on April the 1st. In its planning statement, the college said its graduate student numbers had increased by 5 times since 2005. But the council said in its refusal decision that the change of use would be contrary to the local plan. Labour City Councillor Susanna Presel was Lord Mayor in 2008 when staff at the shop and renowned author John Mortimer celebrated its 21st birthday, and volunteers raising £4 million in the 2 decades since it first opened in 1987. Following the refusal, Ms Presel said, "I'm so glad the City Council has a local plan with the right policies to enable officers to refuse permission for the change of use of the bookshop." Quite rightly, the local plan says that in the city centre, all ground floor units should, wherever possible, contain such things as retail, art, culture or leisure. "We value and admire our old university, the best one in the world, but it must not be allowed to take over all the best sites. Ordinary residents are important too." Earlier, Ms Presel said she hoped that the bookshop would still be open to celebrate its 40th anniversary in 2027. She said earlier, "The bookshop is much loved and a brilliant place for browsing in search of a bargain. And of course, to make room for more books, many of us have to have an occasional clear out of some of our old books, and that is a handy place to drop them off. The fact that it is such a good cause is an added incentive to buy and to donate. I know Regent's Park College is short of space, but that is not a good place for a student common room. St John's College has lots of property very nearby. Perhaps they could let out something to Regent's Park College." Oxfam and Regent's Park College have been asked to comment on the council's decision.
A newly discovered pineapple assassin is shedding light on millions of years of evolution. Researchers at Oxford Brookes University have identified a tiny new predator, a feather-legged assassin bug measuring just 2 millimetres long. Though small in size, the insect is offering big clues about evolutionary change among its relatives. Named Aratrius anacomoxus, the insect has been named the pineapple assassin because of a small pineapple-shaped gland on its body. It was discovered in South Australia with another specimen found in Peterborough, Western Australia. Dr. Matthew Bulbert, senior lecturer in conservation ecology at Oxford Brookes, said, "This one really surprised us. It's incredibly tiny, and it's lost some of the features that usually define feather-legged assassin bugs. Feather-legged assassin bugs are known for their feathery limbs and ant-hunting behaviour, but this species differs significantly from its relatives. The bug has lost many of its signature feather-like hairs, a result of extreme miniaturisation, while its antennae have become larger and more specialised. Researchers believe these adaptations may help the the insect chemically mimic ants in order to live among them. Despite its tiny size, the pineapple assassin retains the glands thought to attract or manipulate ants. Until now, this feature was believed to be absent in this branch of feather-legged assassin bugs. Daniel Bardi, the PhD student who discovered the new bug, said, "That's what makes this species so exciting. It appears to be a transitional form that shows how features like this gland were lost and gained during the history of these insects." The bug's distribution also surprised scientists. Specimens were found thousands of kilometres apart in central Australia, despite the species' inability to fly and its limited movement. Dr. Bulbert said, "Understanding where these species occur is important for conservation because animals that cannot move far are especially vulnerable if their habitats are disturbed." Researchers also found that both male and female bugs have reduced wings, an unusual trait not previously observed in Australian members of this group. Feather-legged assassin bugs represent one of the oldest lineages of assassin bugs. Their ancestors are believed to have arrived in Australia long ago and evolved into specialised species found nowhere else on the planet. The discovery suggests unexpected evolutionary changes. Dr. Bulbert said, "It's extremely tiny and it's lost some of the features that usually define feather-legged assassin bugs."
NHS and school staff could get free park and ride travel in Oxford with money raised from the congestion charge. Oxfordshire County Council is to decide how it will spend the estimated surplus of £4.53 million by May, generated from the charge introduced in October last year. So far, the authority has committed or spent £1.34 million of money raised on the free bus journey of a park and ride, but the remaining £3.19 million is currently unallocated. Proposals being put forward to Cabinet members next week and recommended for approval include offering free park and ride to NHS and school staff in the week. If approved, the free parking element would cost an estimated £120,000 and run for 9 months from the start of June. And the free return bus journey to school or an NHS workplace in Oxford would cost £670,000, also for 9 months from June. What's more, a further £1 million could be used for hospital express park and ride services to the major sites in Headington. This would last for 1 year from the start of October, if approved by Cabinet members at a meeting on April the 21st. Oxfordshire County Council says NHS and education workplaces account for approximately 42% of workplace parking spaces inside the Oxford Ring Road, indicating the scale of peak time travel to these sectors. It also says hospital commuting is a significant contributor to congestion on Oxford's radial routes. Andrew Gant, Cabinet Member for Transport Management, said, "The temporary congestion charge is giving residents and visitors to the city faster journeys, cleaner air, reduced traffic and safer streets. I'm very pleased that we're now able to discuss how we invest further in giving people more choice and convenience when it comes to getting to and around Oxford, including to major hospital sites. It's my hope that some lasting benefits from the temporary congestion charge will also support the transition to the traffic filters trial after Botley Road reopens." Some £1.29 million of the surplus could also be used to continue the existing free ride from the park and ride into Oxford for another 7 months when it is due to expire at the end of May. Small-scale active travel measures such as pedestrian crossings and cycle parking is also proposed, as well as keeping a £500,000 surplus to manage any potential drops in revenue. Oxfordshire County Council's spokeswoman said, "Further details about proposed initiatives will be made available when confirmed by Cabinet." Oxford Bus Company has previously attributed an 8% year-on-year rise in bus passengers using the park and ride on the congestion charge. Drivers have been discouraged to use their vehicles in Oxford city centre since the £5 daily charge was introduced last October.
Rising fuel costs faced by Oxford Bus Company are being limited as its city fleet is now all electric. The bus company is among many businesses facing the impact of soaring fuel prices as a result of the conflict in the Middle East. The United States campaign of strikes against Iran has led to fuel supplies being limited following the partial closure of the Strait of Hormuz, a vital shipping route. The increased cost to the bus company would be much worse if it didn't operate a significant number of electric buses. There are now 110 electric buses running out of its city depot, serving Oxford, while buses on routes to towns including Abingdon, Didcot and Wantage are diesel-powered. An Oxford Bus Company spokesman said, "We understand there is a lot of concern around fuel costs and we would like to remind people that most of our bus fares are currently capped via the government's £3 fare cap scheme. Our group tickets, multi-journey passes and period passes all offer tremendous value for money, and through our partnership with Oxfordshire County Council can offer the great value My Bus Oxfordshire tickets, which are valid on all buses in Oxfordshire, as well as to destinations such as Reading, Newbury and Cheltenham. We are also experiencing continued patronage growth on the park and ride as people embrace it as a more sustainable way to visit Oxford, with free bus travel available with a valid parking ticket. Our city fleet is fully electric, yet we do require fuel for most of our other services, and we are working hard to ensure our services remain value for money despite cost pressures." Last month, the bus company announced 13 new electric buses will soon be on Oxford roads, following an investment of more than £5.1 million. The Go Ahead Group, the parent business of the Oxford Bus Company, has spent £3.5 million, backed by a £1.2 million investment from Oxfordshire County Council via its Vehicle Improvement Fund grant scheme, which utilises some of the £10 million in funding awarded to Oxfordshire by central government to improve bus services in the county. The investment is enabling Oxford Bus Company to expand its fleet of electric buses. The company is rolling out 9 new large electric single-deckers and 4 smaller electric single-deckers on routes extending outside the Oxford Smart Zone, with the first tranche of vehicles already in service. The buses, which have been produced by UK-based manufacturers Wright Bus and Alexander Dennis, will serve the 35 route to Abingdon, 46 to Great Milton, S2T to Whiteham, and the 21 service between Bicester and Chesterton.
A charity gala has raised thousands of pounds to support care for terminally ill children. Red Row South Midlands raised £24,000 for Helen and Douglas House through its annual charity gala. The event supported the hospice's work providing care for children with life-limiting conditions and their families across Oxfordshire and surrounding areas. Olivia Crawford, Corporate Partnerships Executive at Helen and Douglas House, said, "We are so grateful to Red Row South Midlands for hosting their fantastic charity ball in support of Helen and Douglas House and raising an incredible £24,000. It costs £6 million each year to fund the specialist care we provide. Support like this helps us be there for families when they need us most. We are truly grateful." The gala was attended by subcontractors, suppliers and consultants. It featured a raffle, silent auctions, an interactive auction game and entertainment, as well as a 3-course meal. Red Row South Midlands is currently building homes at Hampden Meadows in Watlington and Blaze Park in Abingdon. Andrew Newman, Sales Director at Red Row South Midlands, said, "We are incredibly proud to have raised such a significant amount for such a deserving cause. It was our pleasure to support the hospice and help ensure it can continue its vital work. A huge thank you to all the businesses and supporters who donated prizes and made the night so memorable."
Plans for a data centre near Bicester would be one of the largest facilities in the UK if the scheme is approved. An application could be approved by Charwa District Council, the planning authority, to build 104,008 square metre data centre in Graven Hill next door to St David's Barracks. After outline planning permission was granted in October 2023 with 47 conditions, the application was submitted in December 2025. The proposed development comprises 8 data centre buildings, each designed to accommodate IT infrastructure with a maximum utility capacity of 435 million kilowatts, roughly the same power as 1 million homes. Each data centre, which would have backup power generation facilities, is designed to accommodate computing infrastructure, which has an IT capacity of 290 million watts. There would also be a substation to the southwest of the site. The site was formerly used by the Ministry of Defence for storage and distribution purposes, dating back to 1942. If approved, it's anticipated that between 500 and 800 jobs will be created once the site is fully operational, with half of these positions expected to be remote. Unlike a typical warehouse, data centres are full of servers that store digital cloud services which use large amounts of power and generate a substantial amount of heat. The growth of information technology infrastructure services, such as cloud computing, have expanded at a pace with data centres at the core. Reforms to the National Planning Policy Framework in December 2024 recognised data centres as critical national infrastructure to enable the development of technology industries. However, key issues raised by the Graven Hill Residents Association include power, cooling, water and heat reuse, as well as noise. One of the biggest issues to developing Bicester has been ensuring sufficient electricity supply can meet the demands of the growing town, with a number of sites previously stalled, as is no national grid capacity, developers say. This problem is only expected to get worse, with estimates that the UK's total electricity demand will rise by 50% in 10 years. The data centres are cooled using a combination of mechanical coolers and free cooling, which uses little water, but the latter is insufficient around 40% of the year. A noise and vibration assessment at 10 locations around Graven Hill showed acceptable levels, but locations closest showed an adverse impact. Additionally, as electricity energy turns into heat, this could be used to warm nearby homes. While this was mentioned as a possibility, there have been no other initiatives. Other concerns include about employment, planning processes, lighting and ecology.
Proposals to close fire stations across Oxfordshire have now been withdrawn following public protests. A campaign led by the Fire Brigades Union under the banner Cuts Kill opposed Oxfordshire County Council plans to close Ensham, Woodstock and Henley fire stations and merge others. 5 fire stations were to close, with up to 42 firefighters axed as part of the proposals. But council leaders have now issued a statement saying the station closures are no longer going ahead. Ensham, Henley and Woodstock stations will no longer close, and plans to replace Kidlington and Rooley Road, Oxford stations with a new station in North Oxford are on hold. The council said proposals relating to the building of a new fire station north of Oxford will require further work before any decisions are made. It added, while the long-term potential remains, the proposal is being paused for now due to uncertainty around developer negotiations and the need for further engagement. This means the city's existing Rooley Road fire station and its allocation of fire engines will remain for the time being. No time frame has been finalised for a future decision. The specialist fire and rescue vehicle based at Kidlington Fire Station will remain in place. About 2,000 people signed a petition protesting against the cuts, and last month firefighters voted overwhelmingly in favour of possible strike action in response to the council's proposed cuts to the service. Rob McDougall, Oxfordshire County Council Fire and Rescue Services Chief Fire Officer, said, "I'd like to thank everyone who shared their views on our proposals during the public consultation. We received over 1,000 responses, and it was important that we listened carefully to what people told us. It's important that we regularly review our resources and work closely with our local communities and colleagues to gain consensus on how best to shape the service to meet current and future needs. It's apparent, having read and listened to those who gave us their feedback, that local people are keen to support existing fire stations in their towns and villages. Building on that community support, we'll be taking revised proposals to Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet on April the 21st, which will include reviewing and adapting our recruitment campaigns at Ensham, Henley and Woodstock, with the aim of increasing on-call firefighter numbers and improving fire engine availability. The Council Cabinet will also be asked to agree to withdrawing the proposal presented in the public consultation to remove the second fire engine at Tame Fire Station." Neil Fawcett, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Resources, said, "I'd like to thank everyone who contributed to the consultation, from employees to residents, businesses and politicians. Those views have been reflected in new proposals, which Cabinet will discuss on April the 21st.
Unicorns, dragons and a magical new adventure await families this May half term. Fairy Tale Farm in Chipping Norton will host its Unicorn and Dragon event from May the 23rd to the 31st, filling the school break with fantasy, storytelling and hands-on activities for children. The event promises unicorn encounters, dragon-themed fun, crafts, trails and plenty of imaginative play for visitors of all ages. Highlights include meeting the Unicorn Queen, enjoying magical photo opportunities with her unicorn companions and learning Dragonese with Dragon Master Knight. Nick Leister of Fairy Tale Farm said, "This is set to be one of the most exciting May half terms we've ever had at Fairy Tale Farm. Once Upon a Unicorn and Dragon is always a wonderfully magical event for families, but this year it becomes even more special because it also coincides with the opening of Journey to Alice's Wonderland. We have unicorns, dragons, crafts, fantasy adventures and a brand new ride all coming together at the same time, which gives families a fantastic reason to visit during the holidays. We're looking forward to welcoming lots of children and their families from the 23rd to the 31st of May for what should be a truly unforgettable week. A themed trail gives visitors a chance to complete the Unicorn and Dragon Fact Finder trail quest, while Crafts Corner will be filled with hands-on activities. Children are encouraged to arrive in costume as their favourite fantasy characters and will receive a sweet treat on arrival. Optional unicorn rides will also be available through Fairy Tale Farm's partners Pampered Ponies. This year's event is expected to attract even more attention with the launch of the site's newest family attraction, Journey to Alice's Wonderland. Inspired by the classic tale of Alice's adventures in Wonderland, the ride takes guests through enchanting scenes aboard snail-themed vehicles. Characters such as Alice, the White Rabbit, the Mad Hatter, the Cheshire Cat, the Caterpillar and the Queen of Hearts will appear throughout the experience. No special ticket is required for the half-turn event, with all activities included in standard admission, unless otherwise stated. Unicorn rides are subject to an additional charge and can be added at checkout. Fairy Tale Farm has confirmed that Journey to Switzerland's Wonderland is included in the regular admission price and visitors are welcome to enjoy the ride as many times as they like. Further details and booking information are available on the Fairytale Farm website.
Schools are set to grow new opportunities for outdoor learning thanks to a donation of handcrafted wooden planters. The planters, donated by sustainable house builder Greencore Homes, were gifted to St Blaise CE Primary School and Sutton Courtney C of E Primary School near its Milton Heights development, The Canopies. Becky Costello, head teacher at St Blaise CE Primary School, said, "Outdoor learning plays such an important role in children's overall well-being. Opportunities to spend time outside, working together and connecting with nature can build confidence and encourage curiosity. The planters will be a wonderful resource for helping our children to thrive beyond the classroom, and we thank Greencore Homes for its generous donation." Greencore Homes, known for its emphasis on sustainability, donated the planters as part of its commitment to supporting nearby communities. Both schools plan to use the planters for gardening activities and environmental education.
An equine charity has announced the death of a much-loved police horse which served across the region. Trojan, a former Thames Valley Police TVP horse, born in 2003, had retired in 2019 amid ongoing lameness and was described as having been a big softy. He spent his retirement at the Horse Trust in West Wickham, alongside other fellow police horses, relaxing in the field and enjoying the company of his friends. On April the 11th, announcing Trojan's death, the Trust said, "A much-loved member of the herd and adored by all who knew him, Trojan's loss is felt deeply across the yard. Adored by our team, his sponsors and supporters alike, he brought warmth, character and a touch of playfulness to daily life. Born in 2003, Trojan was a striking 17-hand-high skyboard gelding, whose colourful coat matched perfectly his vibrant personality. He served for 5.5 years with Thames Valley Police, where he built a reputation as a brave and dependable horse with a particular flair for sporting events. From Royal Ascot to football matches across the country, including Oxford, Reading, Brighton, Leicester, Portsmouth, Wickham and Southampton, Trojan carried out his duties with strength and calm composure. He was deeply valued by his colleagues, and his retirement marked the end of a respected and much admired career. The charity explained that it had been managing Trojan's lameness with careful support and medication so he could enjoy a good quality of life. It said that his condition had worsened significantly in recent weeks and that the firmer ground conditions this spring had become increasingly difficult. He had been popular as a sponsored horse at the charity, with members of the public receiving updates and photos of him. The Trust added, "He was loved throughout his working life, his retirement, and especially by his four-legged companions, some of whom he now joins once more. Trojan truly lived a life full of colour, as distinctive and memorable as his beautiful skyboard coat. Thank you, Trojan, for your bravery, your character, and your gentle, affectionate nature. Sleep well, Big Softy. From all his friends, both human and equine, you will be greatly missed. The charity cares for around 140 horses, ponies and donkeys and costs around $7,000 a year to care for each resident."
Blenheim Palace has been recognised as one of the UK's greenest tourist attractions. The Oxfordshire attraction retained its gold status from Green Tourism for the 11th year in a row. Green Tourism is an independent accreditation recognising sustainability efforts and environmental commitment within the tourism industry. Heather Carter, Managing Director at Blenheim Palace, said, We're thrilled to have retained the Gold Award for From Green Tourism. The award recognises best practice under three categories: people, place and planet. In its latest assessment, Blenheim Palace achieved an improved score of 89%, up from 83% in 2023. Full marks were given in the health and well-being and community categories. The palace was praised for community-focused projects such as litter picking, providing land for a community orchard, and offering staff activities like tree planting and no-dig gardening. It has committed to becoming carbon neutral across all operations by 2027. Sustainability measures already in place include a fully electric vehicle fleet, resulting in a 20% reduction in transport emissions, and the elimination of single-use cups across all cafes and events, preventing more than 100,000 cups from entering landfill. Visitors are also encouraged to travel sustainably, with a 20% ticket discount for those arriving by bus, train, bike or electric vehicle.
Organisers of Cowley Road Carnival are hopeful of its return following the appointment of several new trustees to its board. The day-long street festival in East Oxford, which turns Cowley Road into a pedestrian parade of colour, music and community, has been a hit with people across the county in previous years. After a five-year hiatus due to the COVID pandemic and funding difficulties, the carnival returned in 2024, headed by Pax Nindy. While the leader of Cowley Road Works, a charity that promotes community engagement through the arts and culture, has stepped down, its future doesn't seem so bleak. The appointment of several new trustees to its board marks an exciting new chapter for the organisation to ensure long-term sustainability, transparency and community leadership of this much-loved cultural event. Rosie Jacobs, Director of Independent Oxford, has stepped in as the Chair of Trustees. She will provide leadership as the organisation strengthens its governance and fundraising activities. She said that the message is clear that this is a carnival built by and for the community. The leader added, "Cowley Carnival is one of Oxford's most vibrant community celebrations, bringing together artists, performers, schools, businesses, charities and residents for a day that showcases the creativity and diversity of the area. The intention is to build on the spirit of recent years while creating opportunities for even wider communication." Alan Brown, the site and production manager of Leeds Festival, has joined as part-time general manager. Mr. Brown, who is embedded with the city's grassroots and grassroots cultural network, will bring his extensive hands-on experience delivering large-scale community festivals in Oxford to strengthen the operational capacity of the organisation as planning gathers pace. He describes the carnival as a powerful expression of our community's creativity, diversity and culture. He said, "With a strengthened board and experienced operational leadership in place, we are focused on building the partnerships and securing the funding needed to bring the carnival back in a sustainable and community-led way."
An educational and interactive public artwork depicting the flora and fauna around and along the Thames Path is to be installed in Henley to celebrate the Thames Path's 30th anniversary. The colourful mural at the Henley Pavilion in Mill Meadows, which is expected to cost more than £3,500, will depict different species found in and around the River Thames. It will include an interactive QR code that leads to a quiz and information on the species in the artwork, a plaque with a poem by Robert Sita, and a mirror for photo opportunities. Artist Vicky Amaralis, who has been advised on the design by Greener Henley, is working with the Henley College to provide the opportunity for students to work on the mural. Henley Town Council has allocated £2,500 from its Bloom budget for the creation, and Thames Path National Trail has agreed to spend £1,000 to fund the project. Questions were raised at a meeting last month as to whether the mural was too bold or if a smaller Henley-focused design would be more suitable. But others felt it suited the space as it is the intention to celebrate wildlife all along the whole of the river. Suggestions included adding texture and featuring a carp in the design, and adding Braille to the sign and a poem to improve accessibility for the visually impaired.
An active fundraising campaign is now underway as the charity awaits a decision on the application to Arts Council England, which has been unsuccessful in the past. The organisation said it welcomed funders, sponsors, volunteers and community groups to get in contact to be part of the next chapter. Oxford locals have welcomed plans for a new square at the Clarendon Shopping Centre. In 2024, Canadian investor Roy Seabag, who owns Gold Money Properties, bought the Clarendon Centre from Lothbury Asset Investment. Since last year, the centre has been closed, with retailers, including TK Maxx, moving to the Westgate Shopping Centre or other locations. Now GP, Gold Money Properties, Clarendon Square Limited, has submitted a planning application to the City Council to renovate the centre, featuring a new square. People living in the city have been submitting comments to Oxford City Council with their thoughts on the plans. Nikki Warren of Marlborough Road, Oxford said, "There's been a lot of interest in this in a city centre playground for children, as provision is currently very limited. The courtyard would seem an ideal space for young children to play." Mark Pritchard at Farndon Road, Oxford, said, "A lot of the application seems reasonable, but what Oxford City Centre needs to be the vibrant place it claims to support are more year-round residents. The Gloucester Green flats were, I think, the last example. The rumour has it that many are now Airbnb. I and many other locals had hoped that this application would include upper-level, probably rented flats targeted at moderate income local workers as appropriate, but anyhow on terms that would avoid their exploiting the flats by not living there." Oxford City Councillor Susanna Pressel has previously welcomed the latest plans. "Now that the planning application has been submitted and published, we can all see what the new Clarendon Centre will look like if it gets permission. I think it will be a worthy addition to our city centre and a great improvement on what was there before. I can't wait for it to be completed." Ms. Pressel said earlier that the new development featuring the square will be a stunning addition to the city centre. "Every college has internal quads, which are lovely, green, peaceful places, but they are not accessible to most of us. Bond Square is attractive, but it's not enough. This development will provide a welcome, peaceful green space open to all. As we walk along Cornmarket and Queen Street, we would have a glimpse of beautiful trees and benches to tempt us in, with the new open streets to lead us there."
A new petition has been launched calling on the government to halt controversial 15-minute city schemes, which has been a divisive topic in Oxford. The petition argues the schemes undermine personal freedoms by restricting movement and limiting where people can live, work and travel. The petition, which has gathered more than 2,000 signatures at the time of writing, names Oxford as a key example of where such schemes have been implemented without a national mandate. Supporters argue that the government should step in to prevent other councils from adopting similar plans. They claim the 15-minute concept infringes on the Human Rights Act and the European Convention on Human Rights, both of which protect the right to move freely and choose one's residence without arbitrary constraints. The 15-minute city model aims to ensure all residents live within a 15-minute walk or bike ride of essential services such as schools, clinics and parks. In November 2022, Oxfordshire County Council approved a related traffic filter scheme designed to reduce congestion and improve public transport. The scheme proposed restricting private cars from passing through certain areas without a permit, which could be used up to 100 days per year. All other vehicles would be exempt. The filters were not intended to confine people to their neighbourhoods, but to encourage the use of public transport and make walking and cycling safer. Despite this, the plan attracted significant opposition, including a large protest in February 2023. Some online users falsely claimed the scheme was part of a plan to confine people to their local areas for the sake of the environment. Oxfordshire County Council said these claims were unfounded and that the traffic filters were not designed to restrict freedom of movement. The council also clarified that 15-minute cities and traffic filters are separate ideas. In a joint statement at the time, Oxfordshire County Council and Oxfordshire City Council said, "Our aim is to reduce traffic levels and congestion, make the buses faster and more reliable, and make cycling and walking safer and more pleasant." The 15-minute neighbourhoods proposal aims to ensure that every resident has all the essentials, shops, healthcare, parks, within a 15-minute walk of their home. They aim to support and add services, not restrict them. Despite the clarification, the false narrative around the climate lockdown led to councillors receiving death threats. Following the backlash, the City Council chose to remove all references to 15-minute cities from their local plans.
A former World War II bunker in Oxfordshire, converted into a modern home, is now up for sale at £650,000. The property in Bicester was once part of a nearby RAF site, but now boasts two bedrooms, two bathrooms and a plush roof terrace. Despite its modern renovation, the home still sits behind its original bold red brick exterior and is partly concealed by two large earth mounds offering blast protection. Originally, the shelter had 4 feet thick walls and no windows, according to the City and Country Development Company. This is along with the decontamination showers, airlocked doors and a war room when the Bicester spot was originally used as a bunker. However, the property is now full of natural light with large roof lights and bifold doors which lead to its own private terrace. Estate agents Fine and Country have listed the antique home for £650,000 and say it's a nod to the historic military ancestry. The description reads, "Ultimately, the bunker is a lifestyle choice. It offers architectural interest without compromise, privacy without isolation, and connectivity without noise. It's a home for those who value design, light, and a sense of where mornings begin quietly on the lower patio, evenings are spent on the terrace, and the rhythm of life feels considered calm and distinctly individual."
Renowned science broadcaster and author Mark Thompson is set to bring his award-winning show to Henley-on-Thames. Mark's spectacular science show was named the best kids show at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. The show, which is part of a 10th anniversary UK tour, will be performing at the Kenton Theatre on Tuesday, May the 2nd at 2:30 p.m. A spokesman for Mr. Thompson said, "You think science is boring? Think again. This is science like you have never seen it before." Designed for children and adults alike, Mark's spectacular science show explores the strange and magical properties of matter. Known for his dynamic approach to science, Mr. Thompson's show features a range of experiments, including exploding elephant's toothpaste, vortex-generating dustbins, and howling jelly babies. The show has been designed for both children and adults. Mr. Thompson, who is recognised for his dedication to making science accessible, has made numerous appearances on TV, radio, podcasts, and in theatres. He has also delivered lectures at the Royal Astronomical Society, the Royal Institution, and the Norwich Science Festival. His most recent book, 101 Facts You Didn't Know About Space, often tops the astronomy lists in both the UK and Canada. To book tickets for Mark's Spectacular Science Show, please visit thekenton.org/what's-on/spectacular-science-show.
Oxfordshire County Council spent £1,250 on 20-mile-an-hour stickers for residents concerned with speeding in their village. The stickers, a reminder that 20 is plenty, were offered by Oxfordshire County Council for free earlier this year to mark the county's 275th 20-mile-an-hour scheme. Since launching the 20-mile-an-hour programme in 2022, the council has been lowering speed limits through villages across Oxfordshire. A Freedom of Information request by this newspaper has revealed that 1,000 20-mile-an-hour stickers were bought by the council, working out at a cost of £1.25 each. The county council said no costs were incurred via promotion. Details of the postage costs are unknown at this time. Oxfordshire County Council is teamed up with the distribution with the campaign group 20 is Plenty for Us to distribute the stickers. Andrew Gand, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Transport Management, praised the stickers and the reduced speed limits. He said, "This is an incredible landmark and I want to thank all the parish and town councils who've been in touch with us, asking to make their residential streets safer and more pleasant places. Residents can now visibly demonstrate their support by putting these stickers on their wheelie bins to remind drivers that 20 miles an hour should be the norm in areas where people live."
An electric car charging company has collapsed into administration with 69 jobs lost. Electric vehicle EV charging firm EO Car Chargers collapsed earlier in April after it experienced challenging trading conditions in recent years, the business said. Bosses say it had been loss-making following an overseas expansion into the US, Australia, New Zealand, and Italy. EO Car Chargers builds EV charging infrastructure, software, and round-the-clock repair and incident support services. It also partnered with the Oxford-based EV charging company to provide charging stations to households and businesses across Oxfordshire. Edward Williams, joint administrator and partner at PwC, said, "It's regrettable that the company has been left with no option but to enter administration, and that 69 employees have sadly been made redundant. The administrators are looking to assist customers in smoothly transitioning to alternative suppliers with the support of the remaining employees, before winding down the company in an orderly manner and seeking to optimise the value of its assets." EO Charging has manufactured more than 85,000 chargers and deployed 13,000 commercial charging stations across and around 35 countries globally. The remaining workforce, not made redundant, 69 of the 93 have lost their jobs, will remain at the company to help with its wind down. Watford manager Ed Still said he was angry after his side were defeated 2-0 by Oxford United. Miles Peart-Harris and Mark Harris scored the goals to defeat the Hornets at the Kasam and maintain their survival push going into the final four games of the Championship season. The Ewes were the better team on the day, looking more dangerous in forward areas and keeping the visitors at arm's length for the vast majority of the game. We haven't been good enough, basically, Still summarised. The performance there, we haven't matched Oxford in terms of aggression, in terms of adapting to this type of game at this moment of the season. Everything becomes more intense, more power-based, and we haven't been able to deal with it well enough, and to lose the game on a set-piece second ball, a very similar goal to what we conceded against Charlton only a few days ago, and then for it to be killed off by a mistake at the end there, is extremely frustrating. It makes you angry and all the rest of those negative emotions. I think everybody had that feeling that we haven't been able to match them and to create a sufficient amount of moments in the game where we could dictate the play. The brother of former Southampton boss Will Still continued. There's been a period in the first half, there's been a period in the second half, but overall it's not enough. They've just exploited their strengths to the utmost. Taking that set-piece goal early on, and the pitch, with the bobbly pitch that it is and the wind that it is, all of those factors, they've dealt with everything and done much better than what we have. After the win, Matt Bloomfield's Oxford move up a place to 22nd in the table, Gary Rowett's Leicester City having been defeated by Swansea City at home, and 1 point from safety. Rivals Portsmouth pulled off a dramatic 1-0 win in the dying moments at the Riverside Stadium against Middlesbrough to keep themselves a single point above the U's. United have a week to prepare for their next match, a trip to Derby County, who were beaten by Saints at the weekend. There is hope that Jack Curry will be well enough to return to the squad after it was confirmed that he would undergo surgery on his ankle at the end of the season. Nick Prelick, who rolled his ankle last week in training and missed the Watford win, is also hopeful for the journey to Pride Park. Students from Greyfriars Catholic School in Cowley have returned from a two-week visit to Kenya, where they worked with a charity supporting vulnerable children and families. The group travelled to the rural community of Musanda in western Kenya to work alongside the Nasio Trust, a charity with roots in both Oxfordshire and Kenya. Based in Abingdon, Nasio supports children through education, healthcare and community development. The charity is celebrating 25 years of impact this year, having transformed the lives of more than 600 children since its founding in 2001. To mark the milestone, a church service will be held at Dorchester Abbey on June the 14th. Despite a challenging journey that included long delays and disrupted flights, students arrived to a warm welcome from the local community. Staff said one of the most striking aspects of the visit was the kindness and hospitality shown by everyone they met. During the visit, students worked alongside local families, helping to carry water, support basic medical care, and build homes for those living in unsafe conditions. Working together with local builders, Nasio staff and community members, they helped to construct two houses that will provide lasting security for families. Students also attended lessons in local schools, learning alongside Kenyan pupils. Despite limited resources, the school said they were struck by the focus, discipline and strong work ethic of the students they met. The experience offered a powerful lesson in service as the students saw firsthand the impact of working for others and alongside others. The trip also gave students a new perspective on daily life. Many families in Kenya live without running water or electricity, yet the community is rich in resilience, joy and care, the school added. Students also took part in football matches against teams from Mamimas Muslim School. The games were closely contested and played in a positive spirit, bringing together students and the wider community in a shared sense of enjoyment. Each evening, the group gathered to reflect on the day, ending with a shared rendition of the song Happy, which became a defining tradition of the trip. The visit concluded with the completion and handover of the houses, alongside the planting of trees to mark the group's legacy in the community. An open evening is set to offer a hands-on look at student life and career pathways. Taking place at the Lees College, the event will be held on Wednesday, April the 29th from 4:30pm to 7pm. The open evening will showcase the college's range of study, leisure and professional programmes. A spokesman for Activate Learning said, "Activate Learning are excited to welcome visitors on site to showcase their extensive range of study programmes and employment opportunities at the Lees College during the Spring 2026 open event on Wednesday the 29th of April, 4:30 to 7pm. Visitors will have the chance to hear subject presentations, meet current students, and speak with staff about courses and campus life. Other activities include an introduction to college life led by the group director of the Lees College, insights from T-level employers, and information about access to higher education courses. Attendees can also explore the college's IT hub and tour facilities for construction, brickwork, carpentry, and motor vehicle programs. Staff will be on hand to help visitors plan a personalised learning pathway and discuss application options."
And that is all the news for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please feel free to contact us by phoning 07496 062 280. That is 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message, or you can send us an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and past editions are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can listen to these editions directly or download them online. If you need any help or have any further queries, please feel free to contact us. That is all for now. We hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening.